walk across the courtyard towards the library. I can hear the insects buzzing the leaves beneath my feet.
Good evening, Kodiak, and welcome to the March edition of Dog-Eared Reads, Fetching Books and Tales by the Kodiak Public Library Association. I'm Athenia Large, chair of the KPLA, and tonight I want to tell you about our upcoming annual meeting. We've decided to do something a little different this year. We're holding it in the morning. It's going to be on Saturday, March 25th, from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. in the upstairs Sunnyside Room at Monk's Rock. Monk's Rock is kind enough to provide us with a continental breakfast for our guests, so you can munch on some cinnamon rolls while you listen to us give our small and short business meeting, after which we'll announce some outstanding community members who have really helped us over the last year, and then we'll talk about some of our plans for the Kodiak Public Library Association moving forward. We'll also, of course, discuss our budget, and this is a great opportunity for people who are interested in the Kodiak Public Library and the Kodiak Public Library Association and want to come out and get involved. We have decided this year that it would be a good idea for us to expand our board so that we can do a lot more of the fun things that we want. And so we're looking for some new board members. If you're interested at all in getting involved with us, we've got a lot of fun things coming up, and we're open to any fun ideas you might have about how to make the Kodiak Public Library Association a better service to the Kodiak Public Library and to you community members. So again, if you're at all interested in getting involved with the Kodiak Public Library Association, you can always email us, kpla.alaska@gmail.com. You can always find us on our website, www.kodiakpubliclibraryassociation.org. You can always find us on Facebook at Kodiak Public Library Association, or come to our annual meeting, March 25th, 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning at the Sunnyside Room upstairs at Monk's Rock. For our show today, instead of doing an author interview, we actually had Jordana Long join us in the studio earlier in the year with her entire family to share with us what they are reading. So they gave us book reviews that cover a broad spectrum of age ranges, and tonight I'm going to share that with you. Later in the show, we'll have a book review from Leanne, but first, I want to give you lively live chats. Katie did a fantastic interview with Velma Vining, who is the Child Resource Specialist over at the Coast Guard Base, if I got that right, and she's sharing with Katie a fun experience she's had with working with the Aleutic culture, with her clover buds, and some resources that she's found for her kids about the Aleutic language and culture. It's really exciting. So without further ado, let's go right to lively live chats with Katie Baxter at the Kodiak Public Library. Take it away, Katie. Take off those glasses and let down your
headphones. Hi, everyone. This is Katie from the Kodiak Public Library with this month's segment of Lively Live Chat. And I have with me a special guest from our island community. Hi, Velma.
Hi, Katie.
This is Velma, and Velma is the Child Development Resources Specialist over on the Coast Guard Base. Long mouthful, big mouthful. She covers a lot of ground over there with different activities, and I've had the pleasure of helping her out a few times and bringing some library resources to various events. And today, I thought that the two of us could talk about the ways we're using some of the Aleutic language resources that are available at the public library. It's been in the newspaper and on the radio programs and publicized at various events that thanks to the hard work of many elders of our community, the Aleutic Language Strategic Planning Collaborative, and members of the Shunack tribe and various instructors over at the community college, as well as elsewhere around the island, there is a wonderful resurgence of the Aleutic language amongst our Aleutic families. And as the librarian, I get excited because while I am not related to an Aleutic family and have no firsthand experience with the language, in the library, I'm coming upon so many great resources to bring the language alive. And Velma, you and I were talking a little bit about your interest in helping some of the youth that you're getting to know over on base about the Aleutic culture. So talk to me a little bit. How are you using some of the resources around the island to share knowledge about Aleutic traditions?
Well, thank you for asking. What I've started on the Coast Guard base is a 4-H club. And the 4-H club is a 4-H military partnership club. We do partner with a Kodiak 4-H club in town, but we are our own little club. And we have an age group called the Clover Buds, and they're ages 5 through 8. And the Clover Buds get to explore a lot of different things. And as a leader, I was looking for some new and exciting things that they could learn. And I think it's important when we are in a different place to learn about the culture of that place. So I reached out to the Aleutic Museum, and the Aleutic Museum has these wonderful curriculum boxes full of materials in a nice portable Pelican case. And they're just, like I said, they're full of materials about the Aleutic culture, different topics. So I checked that out, and I took it to my Clover Buds, and we just explored a little bit of the Aleutic culture, and it was a wonderful experience.
So what types of objects were in that box?
Well, one of the boxes had a lot of games, and one of the games was a seal skin with a wooden token in the middle, and each team has little discs that you toss at that target in the middle of the seal skin, and if you touch it, you get a point, and then you tally it up with little sticks. And this was handmade by a local artist.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's just a beautiful piece and a fun game to play.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids really enjoyed playing that game. And there were also toys, boys' toys and girls' toys inside this. So it's neat to see that children of all cultures play to learn. Because they were playing, they had a little wooden bow in there, I think. There were some other, like a small skinning board and ulus. It was very interesting to see that children of all ages and cultures learn through play. And I think that's an important thing, that the work of children is play.
Nice. It's fun. And I think one thing I've been noticing is that when the children here at the library and the adults begin picking up some of these wonderful Aleutic books that we have here today, faces open in wonder. One thing, because I think many of our community members recognize the authors and the illustrators of various books.
I noticed that you have a book here that is written by Alicia Drabeck.
Yes, yes.
And it is a beautiful book. The illustration on the front is a bear in just gorgeous colors and striking design. And I opened this book up right away because I was struck by the illustration. And it's all in Aleutic, which I cannot read, but it's just a beautiful little book of illustrations of bears doing different things. So I flip to the front, and I see that it is written in Aleutic and also translated to English. So that helped me to read it and figure out what the book was about. And it's based on the nursery rhyme, This Little Piggy, right?
So I love that you picked out a book that is based on a nursery rhyme, which is a type of word game play. So there you are, gravitating to that playful activity. And what you noticed about the actual illustrations and working through the rhyme?
It's just gorgeous, deep colors. And I can see that the rhyme itself is, this little bear went to the river, this little bear stayed home, this little bear ate fish, and this little bear did not eat, and this little bear went wee 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 to his home.
And at the library we have a couple of copies of that book, so if there are any teachers or parents or babysitters who are looking for some special activities to do on a rainy Kodiak day or a wintry day, we have these materials that are made available to anyone to borrow. You just need a library card. And then another special feature that we have here is that same book, but what kind of format is it on?
It's on an iPad.
It's an iPad. So who have we got here with us with Velma?
Eric,
nice to have you here. And what does it feel like when you're exploring a book in Aleutic language on an iPad? What do you notice about the way that the book has been set up for you? When you were just hitting that word, what happened? Let's hit it again. Maybe Velma can scroll through that book and talk about her experience of reading the same book that she just picked up in print and seeing the difference on the iPad version.
Well, I noticed on this version of the book that it's interactive. When I touch it, it moves. There's a little red tab in the upper left-hand corner. When I press that, all sorts of things come up in the bottom and the top. I can pick any page in the book, and on the top, I can actually press a play button.
And so when you selected your page and then you selected the paintbrush, what happened to that page?
It turned it black and white.
Yes, and now what happens as you drag your finger across that page? What's happening there, Eric?
You can color.
You can color. And so what some folks will do is they'll use the audio feature of the book and they'll listen to the words that are on that page. And then you can actually turn the page into a game. You can read the word or play the audio and then have someone circle the part of the picture that the word is representing.
Wow.
So it's a game and you can make up the rules and you can practice over and over again. We have four of the books in the Aleutic language series that were created recently, just within the past few years, through the work of the Native Village of Afognak, the Afognak Corporation, and elders who came together with high school language learners and members of the Aleutic Teacher Mentorship Project. There were several individuals around our community who were involved in creating the print version of the book, as well as this online version. And the library has copies of the print books as well as the iPads that people can come and borrow and bring this wonderful Aleutic language to life. And I'm so grateful to our Aleutic community members for sharing these resources here at the public library, because, as I say, truly here is where our culture can come alive. We get insight into resources that we may not ordinarily see. In addition, we have some films on the Aleutic dance history, and we have a nice feature film. It's a brief film on the new Aleutic skin sewers. And you've got a box in front of you of smaller books. Those were produced in 2009. Eric, what do you think of those books as you take a look? They're small. They're just about, I don't know, like 3x5. Maybe a little wider than 5 inches. How would you describe those books? What are some adjectives we'd use?
Colorful.
Colorful. Easy to handle and open. We have, if we count, I wish I could count in Aleutic. I haven't learned my numbers yet. But we have several copies of the bundles in this storybook collection number one. So again, families who are looking for a special activity, Aleutic storytellers, language teachers, if you're looking for some resources, and I know there are plenty of resources out there thanks to the work of such fine teachers and speakers. But again, here at the library, we have some materials available. In addition, before we wrap up today's lively live chat, I want to remind folks that thanks to Talitha over at the Native Village of Afognak, she and Miss Ellie here at the library have teamed up to present an Aleutic story time. And we've been doing this February, March, and April on the second Saturday of the month. We've got one coming up on Saturday, March 11th from 11 a.m. to 11:30. It is a story time where Aleutic stories are shared by high school Aleutic language learners and elders and other Aleutic speakers. And this half hour of fun activity is for youth, parents, and caregivers. And I do invite you to come. And it's a type of story time that brings to life the Aleutic customs and language passed on from our Kodiak elders to today's youth. So, Velma, I hope you and your 4-H group might show up to an Aleutic story time.
That sounds intriguing.
And I thank you for sharing your experience of the use of the Aleutic kit from the Aleutic Museum and your experience with these books. And is there anything coming up in your work around the island that you want to tell the listeners about before we leave?
I would like to mention that the annual Kodiak Children's Fair will be April 22nd from 10 to 2 at the Kodiak High School gym.
Nice.
And that is free and open to the public. The theme this year is Connecting the Dots. And that's the idea behind the fair is bringing resources and children and families together. So many of the people who help children and families around town will be there with really fun activities for children to do and things for people to learn about.
Nice. And I know the library always enjoys having a table there at the fair. I love this year's theme, Connect the Dots, and I think we'll be sure to bring along our Aleutic language materials to share, and we'll do some activities as well. And again, thanks for that important reminder.
Thank you. And also, a new part of the Children's Fair this year is a family cafe, and that we'll have more information about the family cafe, but that will be during lunchtime, and Amanda Sanford is spearheading that. So look for more information about the Family Cafe during the Children's Fair.
We always appreciate the new things you bring to that fair. It's an exciting day, and there's lots of families, and as you say, local resources are represented, so thanks for that reminder. So Velma and Eric will say goodbye and happy reading. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for that great interview. That was Katie Baxter at the Kodiak Public Library speaking with Velma Vining, the Child Resource Specialist at the Coast Guard Base. And as a reminder, Velma did mention that annual Kodiak Children's Fair that's happening on April 22nd from 10 to 2 at the Kodiak High School Gym, and it's free. So that's a good event to take your kids to. Thanks again, Katie and Velma. Up next on Dog-Eared Reads is Jordana Long and her family joining us for some book reviews. Jordana Long has been on the Kodiak Public Library Association board for the last year, and she is leaving us this year. So I want to say thank you so much to Jordana for all of her wonderful service. She's been a great addition to our board. We love having her on there. We will, of course, miss her presence very much. And as a farewell, we're glad to be able to share with you today Jordana's book reviews, because both herself and her husband Chris, as well as all of their children, have quite good taste. These are fun books that they're sharing with us, and it gives you all out there in Kodiak a chance to get to know them a little bit better. If you like what you hear tonight and you want to tell Jordana in person, you should remember to come to our annual meeting March 25th, 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning, where the Kodiak Public Library Association will be having a little continental breakfast and meeting at the Sunnyside Room upstairs at Monk's Rock. So I'll hand it over to Tayton now, where he gives you the long review.
Welcome to Dog-Eared Reads. This is Tayton with Community Roar, where we rave over amazing reads with local Kodiak community members. This week, I'm here with Chris and Jordana Long and their four kids, and of course, that means we have to call it the long review. All right, let's do a quick round of introductions. Could you each tell us your name and how old you are?
You want to start, Topher?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
10.
You know, you were 2 up until a couple days ago.
Ago.
Now you're 3.
3.
That's right.
Hello, my name is Rihanna Long, and I'm 7 years old.
Hello, I'm Liam Long, and I am 8 3/4 years old.
Hi, I'm Nari Long, and I'm 10 years old.
Hi, my name is Chris Long, and I am 36 years old.
I am Jordana Long, and I'm impressed my husband got his age right. I am 37 years old.
And That's Topher in the background.
And he's Sue. I mean, he's great.
Well, thank you all. This is awesome. I'm really excited to have you here today. And I hear you each picked out a book to share with members of the Kodiak community. Who would like to start? All right. All right, Nairi. Yeah, please do. And you can start whenever you're ready.
My book is called Artemis Fowl, and it's by Owen Colfer. It's about a 12-year-old genius who restores the family fortune by kidnapping a fairy. And the kidnapping didn't go too well. I mean, I don't think he expected a troll to break in through the front door.
Who's he kidnapped by?
He wasn't kidnapped by anyone. He kidnapped a fairy called Polly Short. She's a police officer from the LAP Recon, which is a branch of the fairy police that tracks runaway fairies to the surface and brings them back down underground where they live because they don't want the so-called mud people to I don't know what to them, but they're very secret.
So what is it that you like about the book so much?
Well,
why'd you pick this one?
It's funny, and it's third-person omniscient, which means it has everything's in everyone's point of view. And also, I like that the main character is a kid.
Do you have a favorite character?
Well, I like Holly Short and Artemis, and Artemis's bodyguard, Butler.
Why do you like the butler?
Because he's big and muscly. And he knows a lot of martial arts.
Cool. Who else would like this book?
Well, people who like science fiction books and action and adventure books. Books like this, like The City of Ember or Harry Potter, because of the magic.
Cool, and it sounds like your brother, too. He was pointing to himself over here.
Because he enjoyed it as well.
Awesome, Nairi. Thanks so much for sharing that book with us. Cool. Who's next? Topher Long is up.
We're going to talk about one of his absolute favorite books. It's called Moobah La La La. But it's Moobah La La La. Can you read it to us? What does the cow say? Does the cow say oink?
For you listeners out there, Topher wants to read the book by himself.
It has a funny part at the front where it says... Oh, yeah, it has the woofies. What do the woofies say, Topher? What does the woofies say? Yeah. And it has a part where the cats are getting chased by the dogs. I think that makes Topher a little anxious. Yeah. And what is this right here, Topher? Is this a duck?
No, I'm ducky.
It is a ducky.
No, meow.
That is not a cat.
Meow.
That is a duck.
Meow.
I don't know. I think it might be a cat.
He's being scared of the woofies chasing the cats again. He calls dogs woofies because his little babysitting buddy calls them woofies. Yeah, but he likes to pretend he's holding a duck whenever he looks at the duck picture.
No, I want the duck.
You don't want the duck right now. Okay. And
I want the duck.
Topher's mommy and daddy like this book a lot because, unlike some baby books, you can read Sandra Boynton books over and over and over again without going insane. And this is a book we've had since Nairi was a baby, and I just recently...
I'm baby.
Yeah, I recently picked up a newer copy at the Kodiak Public Library Association book sale. And I was really excited because our Sandra Boynton books are starting to fall apart and look kind of miserable. So anyway, Topher is now packing up a backpack with the book and his jacket. And I think we're going to be done with his part of the interview.
All right. Thanks so much, Jordana and Topher. Moo-la-la. That's the book to check out next.
That's right.
Who wants to go next? Liam Long, you are next. What book do you have for us today?
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban by J.K. Rowling.
Awesome. So what is it about this book that made you decide to pick it and to talk about today?
A, because it's my most favorite book I've ever read. B, because it's my favorite Harry Potter book. And C, because I've listened to it 3 times already, and I like it a lot.
Okay, 3 times, yeah? So you must have a favorite scene in the book. Is there a favorite one you could share with us?
Well, that particular scene kind of gives away most of the book.
Okay. So we probably shouldn't talk about that's favorite scene then.
Talk about some of the other things you like about the book.
Yeah.
Some other scenes that you like or parts.
Well, the Dementors were new.
What are Dementors?
These hooded creatures without legs that go around trying to suck your soul out.
Oh, no. So why are they trying to do that? Why are they trying to take people's souls?
I don't know. The book doesn't explain.
Okay. We find out later then?
Probably.
Okay. Well, what else do you like about this book? Is there a favorite character?
Harry Potter, Hermione Granger, Ron, and Sirius Black.
What do you like about Harry?
He learns how to fight Dementors.
Is it easy for him?
Not too easy.
Not too easy. There's that really good scene in there. I mean, the fun scene when he's playing Quidditch, which is a magical game played on brooms, and one of the other students tries to play. I won't call it a prank. He tries to do something nasty to him. What does he do?
He comes out with his friends dressed up as the Dementor.
And this is the first time that Harry. So what does Harry do when he sees them?
He points his wand at them, yells "Expecto Patronum," and blasts them off the scene of the earth. Just kidding.
Off the scene of the earth. He just scares the living daylights out of them. That's an important scene because it's the first time Harry's done what?
Tried to find a mentor.
That's right. And he was scared there too. So and what else does he manage to do while he's blasting them with his Expecto Patronum spell? What does he manage to do?
Catch a really tiny ball on wings.
And when he catches it, what happens to the in the
he
game?
He wins the game.
He wins the game. There you go.
Awesome.
So how about cool. Hermione? What do you admire or like about Hermione?
She is a big know-it-all.
So kind of like you.
He's laughing.
Because I think I know another little person who likes to read all sorts of fun facts in books and then recite them ad nauseum.
So who else would enjoy reading Harry Potter?
Well, everyone in my family. Everyone who is interested in magic.
So this just in, you guys, check out Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Thanks so much, Liam, for sharing the book with us. All right, who is next? Rhiannon, what book do you have to share with us today?
The Tale of Timmy Tiptoes by Beatrix Potter.
Can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Well, it's fun to read, and it's like a really cute little creature that can tell other boys or girls that it is fun to read about them. So I guess it's really like fun for others. And I've been reading it over and over a lot because it's really easy to read. And there are other types of Beatrix Potter books. But I just like this one because it's about a girl, which is cute.
Well, yeah, who doesn't like a cute squirrel, right?
I don't know.
Is there anything in particular that happens in this story?
Yeah. Timmy Tiptoes gets put down a little hole of a woodpecker's tree.
Oh, okay.
On half a peck of nuts, belonging to himself. The other squirrels that pushed him in didn't break his ribs, because small was small.
So then what happened?
In the meantime, Timmy Tiptoes awakened with a chipmunk with a nightlight. Sometimes books like for little kids have clothing. Well, and it lent him his nightcap and like gave him some nuts. It was really kind to him. But after a little while, Timmy's wife, Goody Tiptoes, was looking everywhere for Timmy Tiptoes, and it says she passed a lonely and unhappy night without Timmy Tiptoes. So, At the end of the book, it's really, really cute. And Timmy and Goody does have baby squirrels. And there are two birds that sing songs. Well, one of these little birds caused some mischief, which made the other squirrels get angry and cram Timmy Tiptoes into the woodpecker's hole.
Cool. So who else would like this book?
Other first or second graders.
Okay, awesome. And what was the name of it, and who was the author again?
Beatrix Potter and the Tale of Timmy Tiptoes.
Excellent. Thanks, Rihanna, for sharing that with us.
Well, I guess I'm next. So my name is Chris Long, and I'm almost actually finished with it. I'm rereading It by Stephen King, which is why I picked that today. It's actually it's a fascinating story. It's about a collection of seven characters who have to, as children, face a monster or an evil force that lives under the town and mostly in the sewers of Derry, Maine, which is the setting, it's the fictional setting of many of Stephen King's books. And they almost kill it as children, but not quite. And then as adults, they have to come back and try to finish the job. And so what you get, one of the things that's wonderful about it, it's one of Stephen King's strengths, is his description and building of characters. He has a remarkable ability to paint whole pictures of people rather than in a lot of popular books you kind of get propped up cardboard cutouts, you know, two-dimensional characters who don't have a lot of depth. And King does not, he really focuses on the character development. And so you've kind of got a coming of age story with them as children, which is told kind of in parallel with their coming back as adults to face this evil. And so you get to see both how they were as children and then how that developed them into the adults that they became later on in life. And that's, it's a very fascinating part of the story.
So there's a lot of people who are familiar with Stephen King, but I don't know that everybody's read Stephen King. How would you compare It to other books of Stephen King's for those who haven't read it yet or other authors as well?
I would say, I mean, It is quintessentially Stephen King. It's what people think of, the sort of story that they think of when they think of Stephen King. So it's got a lot of the very strong gothic and horror elements to it, the very strong theme of good versus evil, and then you throw in a good. It's really, there's a strong epic qualities to the journey of these kids as well. And then, of course, they've got a lot of the supernatural. So a lot of his work, such as Carrie, The Stand, Dreamcatcher, it's similar to a lot of those in its themes and its sort of storyline as well.
For age range, you know, is this a kid's book? Is it a young adult? Is it adult?
This is definitely late high school, college, and late high school would be the earliest. I don't think I'd let my kids read it until they were in high school or college or adult, just because of a lot of the themes that he's dealing with and a lot of the situations that are in there as well. So it's, this is not a read out loud to your kids in the evening type of a book.
Aww.
I know, it's not fair. But
I'm not.
I already know which horror book I'm reading you guys first, so let's say.
Well, and what book is that?
That will be Dracula by Bram Stoker, which is classic, classic horror, so
let's say. And for those listeners out there, there's some clapping going on in the room right now.
I'm looking for it. Yeah, I'm rereading it. I think it was C.S. Lewis who said the mark of a lover of books is not that he reads them, but that he rereads them. And one of the joys of parenthood for me has been going back and rereading all of these books that I loved growing up and have loved as adults with my kids again, and you get to experience them from a fresh perspective, and you also get to enjoy watching and participating in their reaction to these stories that you loved. It's fun to pass them down. You know, a lot of these were things that my father read to me as a child as well. And so, you know, you've got this intergenerational passing down of these stories that affect your imagination, you know, throughout your life. So
Yeah, I agree completely. Are there any other books that you would suggest for parents out there? As you know, you have kids from a wide range of ages here. So are there any other in particular that you found that they all enjoy?
One of the first series we read all together was The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. That's classic. That can be read. I think I read it to Nairi when she was 4 and a half, and I reread them to Liam and Rihanna not long ago. You've heard a lot about a lot of them already from the kids. The Artemis Fowl, we just finished reading together. We've been working through the Harry Potter series. We've read Charlotte's Web, it's Redwall by Brian Jack, the Little House on the Prairie series by Laura Ingalls Wilder, Princess and the Goblin by George MacDonald. What else have we read? We read a lot. Can you tell?
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Rhiannon, Liam, and Nairi, are there any other books that that the listeners out there should know about and read? Or any other favorites?
Well, there's this one that my teacher read to us as a class. It's called A Murder for Her Majesty. I'm not sure who it's by, but I just know that it's a really good book, and it's good for people around my age, you know, 9, 10, 11, who really understand that kind of stuff.
Every single one of the Harry Potter books.
All right.
Well, I pick one. They're my favorite.
Okay, read the Harry Potter books. Rihanna, any other favorites?
Well, there is Harry the Dirty Dog. That is fun for me.
For kids who don't like to take baths.
Emblematic of
good
that.
Well,
he took a bath. I think it was really soapy.
Yeah, we like baths, so that's not our problem. Maybe we should give it away to some parents who have kids who have trouble taking baths.
Yeah, but like Harry, you love getting dirty. So.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we like getting dirty and we like getting clean too.
Cool. Well, thank you guys. Should we get your mom and see if she's ready to do hers? Yeah.
And while we wait for Jordana Long, a quick reminder that you're listening to Dog-Eared Reads and Community Roar on KODK 90.7. And the Long family is sharing some of their favorite books with us.
All right, Jordana. You're up next.
Yay. Okay, I'm really excited to talk about this book, actually. This is a book I finished recently. And you know how sometimes you just read a book and it's just like the best thing that you've read in a long time and you're excited about it? This is one of those books for me. This is called Fire and Hemlock by Diana Wynne Jones. And to kind of give some context for this, it's based loosely on this old Scottish ballad called Tam Lin. And I have read several books that are based on this ballad, and I love all of them. I think this is just, it must be just one of those, like, kind of storylines that really appeals to me. In the original story, you have a man, Tam Lin, who is enchanted by the Queen of the Fairies, and he is going to have to be sacrificed as part of the sacrifice that she does every 7 years to, yes, it's very dramatic, unless he can get a woman to save him. So in the original ballad, Tam Lin is not necessarily a very nice guy, but he does manage to get this young girl, Janet, to fall in love with him and be willing to rescue him. And then other books that I've read based on this ballad have kind of followed that plot line pretty closely. But this one kind of takes a couple of twists to it, Fire and Hemlock does. For one thing, it assumes that Tam Lin and a couple other kind of similar stories actually are part of the history of this book. So what's going on in this book is not an exact, you know, kind of blow-by-blow retelling of it. It's just a similar story that recurs several times throughout history because, in this case, the Queen of the Fairies is still at her wicked ways. But the neat thing about this book is it was actually published in the 80s, and it's set in the 80s. So it's at that time, it would have been kind of a modern-day, you know, retelling of the story. It has a really cool, strong lead female character named Polly. Sorry, Nairi, what did you want to ask?
You fairies out there, take note. You gotta elect another queen. Oh, and also, A Murder for Her Majesty is also another one of those books, except for much younger people.
I think it's interesting that Nairi and I both picked books that have a fairy connection. It's kind of interesting. So, so the protagonist of this book is Polly. And the book opens, the story opens with her sitting in her grandmother's house in her old bedroom there. And she has this strange feeling like She's remembering something that she had forgotten. And as she sits there thinking about it, she realizes that she has this whole kind of second set of memories. It's almost like she's lived two lives. And so a lot of the story is told in flashback as she's trying to figure out what actually happened to her and why she can't remember a lot of it, and has to figure out like which storyline is true in her own life too. But a lot of it seems to be wrapped up in a funeral that she accidentally attended when she was a child, and have to do with a man named Thomas Lynn that she met there. So you can kind of take it from there to see exactly the relationship between Polly and Thomas and the Queen of the Fairies and everything. It's a great book. One of the interesting things about it, one of the many interesting things about it, is that the author had a bunch of other books in mind while she was writing it, not just the Tamlin ballad, but elements of the Odyssey, where Polly is kind of like Penelope and Thomas Lynn is kind of like Odysseus in a lot of ways. There are other fairy tales that she alludes to, and she actually has a pretty great reading list. Throughout the story, Thomas sends Polly books, and it's kind of a great list of fantasy literature for kids in real life. So one of the things you could do if you read this book is then go to the library and get an armload of books, all the books that are talked about in this book, and just read them for fun as well. And I have a feeling that there are probably a lot of clues in those other stories that would shed light on Fire and Hemlock too. So it's a great story. I highly recommend it. Can get it from the library. You can get it on Listen Alaska as well and read on your Kindle or whatever. But I did that, and then I immediately went on Amazon and ordered my own copy. And Chris has told me that I'm not going to get to read it right away because it's his as soon as it arrives. So.
Okay, yeah. That must be a good one.
So why
one,
is it
then
called Fire and Hemlock?
That's a great question, Nairi. One of the things that triggers Polly's memories returning is she's looking at a picture on her wall, and she knows that the picture is called Fire and Hemlock. It kind of shows a picture of a fire in a field with hemlocks on fire. And she realizes that over the years, the picture has seemed to be moving and it has seemed to kind of shift. So that's her, when she starts thinking about it, that's one of the things that helps her remember everything that she has forgotten. But also fire and hemlock have certain symbolism in the story, where fire kind of represents life and hemlock represents death, and among other things as well.
This sounds like a fun read.
It is.
What age groups do you think would like it the best?
I think it's actually probably geared towards kind of young adult, but I don't think I would really recommend it for, well, I don't know. I think I might actually have Nairi read it, but I think in general, probably kind of young teens would be probably the place to start. Through the age of 119, I don't know. It's a great book, and I think it would appeal to a wide range of ages. It doesn't really have any objectionable elements to it or very many kind of scary things. It is intense at times, but mostly I think that probably younger readers might be a little bit confused. And if you're a little bit older, you might get a little bit more out of it.
Thank you very much, Jordana.
Yeah, thank you, Tayton.
And there you have it, the long review. All right, a big thank you to Chris, Jordana, Nairi, Rian, Liam, Topher. Thank you all for coming in and sharing your favorite books with us. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Tayton. Thank you for having us here, Tayton.
Thank you.
It was really fun.
And thanks to all you listeners out there for joining us for another segment of Community Roar and Dog-Eared Reads. This is Tayton. Until next time, happy reading.
Library Association, and get involved with us. We are always, always, always looking for more input and help. And especially now with our annual meeting coming up on March 25th from 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning at the Sunnyside Room upstairs, Monk's Rock, with a continental breakfast for those of you that want to stop by and check out what we're doing and have some input on what we do in the future. Maybe you've even forgotten to renew your Kodiak Public Library Association membership. This is the perfect opportunity to do that. Come down, fill out a membership form, get to know us, see for yourself why we're so excited for the future of the Kodiak Public Library Association. Now, let's keep going with this enthusiasm for the Community Roar segment of our show and share with you another book review. Here is Leanne.
This is Leanne Schmalzbach, and I am here to talk with Athenia about one of my newest reads that I've really enjoyed. It's a memoir novella, I'll call it. It's not really a long novel. It's just a memoir novella, and I discovered this book when I went on what I'm going to call a shopping therapy for books session, I decided that I wanted to buy a couple new books, things that no one had recommended to me and were outside of my norm. So no dystopias this time. Well, okay, which is funny because I ended up buying one, but I didn't know it at the time. But this particular book is a memoir and it's called Fat Girl Walking and it's by Brittany Gibbons. For those of you who are familiar with internet famous people, Brittany Gibbons is internet famous. She published this book in 2015. She is the blogger Brittany herself at BrittanyHerself.com. And she's amazing. One of the things I love about memoirs is that sometimes you not only get to see insight into the person and how, you know, why they are taking a stance politically or socially the way they do, but you really get to see how they use different strategies to cope and to learn how to become an adult. And Brittany is just amazing this way. Brittany doesn't ask for people to feel sorry for her. She is just stating this is how she grew up. And in her foreword, I could not help but just laugh out loud. Now, part of it is that she, like myself, grew up through the late 80s and through the 90s. And so there were so many things that she talked about that were very relevant to my cultural upbringing. But she laughs about it all. And I just really admire the fact that here is a woman who does not fit the body norm of the United States of America. She is a woman that is larger, like myself. She's beautiful. She did a TED Talk, and I would highly recommend that, you know, if you get this book and you read it, also check out her TED Talk. It's for body advocacy. And she promotes body advocacy for all women. All women, whether it didn't matter what your size is or how tall you are or what you have to do in order to make your clothes fit, she promotes that all women are beautiful exactly the way they are. And her memoir focuses on how she grew up, just to say, you know, this is where I come from. And she laughs about it the whole way through. And then how she's learned to love herself and how she's learned to encourage other women to also love themselves. One of my favorite parts is in her prologue where she talks about how there seems to be a fad or trend in writing in the last 5 years that people talk about how they break up with specific dieting things, like they break up with gluten or they break up with dairy, and suddenly they are able to conquer their inner demons and find the thin girl inside of them and become the thin girl inside of them. And then she says that she always suspected that there was a thin girl inside of her, but not metaphorically. but really, she had a twin and she ate her. And when I read that part, I just laughed and laughed and laughed, not because of the morbidity of the situation and not just because it reminded me of my big fat Greek wedding with the babopsy of the aunt who apparently had a twin, but because it was so relevant to, you know, all those people's experiences were amazing and powerful, but they definitely didn't fit hers, and that's okay. And I felt, as I've read the book, and I've then, of course, recommended it, as I'm doing now, to many of my friends, I think that that's one of the most powerful lessons that I learned from her, was that it reinforced that my experience is different from other people's, but it makes it no less awesome. It makes it no less impactful. It makes it no less true. And really and truly, if I can laugh at myself and learn the lessons that I need to learn, I can learn to love myself. I got done reading that book and there were some things that she talked about with looking in the mirror and things that she talked about with clothing and things that she talks about with modeling and with learning how to love the camera no matter what size you are, that I really have been able to take out of it and try to start trying to apply to my life, because I do struggle, like many people, with loving myself at all times. And so just some of the things she talks about really, really helped me. And I have to say that I've checked out her blog and she's got awesome recommendations for all sorts of things. And so I would really, really recommend, like, if you want to laugh, if you want to cry, I mean, there's a little bit of crying involved, but if you just want to laugh and you want to enjoy knowing that there's someone out there that for some reason is down on their selves too, and you want to know some different ways that worked for her, maybe there are things that you already know about, but maybe there are things that you may not know about, that how to learn to love yourself just a little bit better and know that there are other people doing the same thing and can laugh along with you on your journey, then absolutely read Fat Girl Walking by Brittany Gibbons. It was published in 2015. And check out her blog, BrittanyHerself.com. And I think you'll find that you won't be able to put it down. And you'll have to read it out loud to your friends because they'll want to know why you're laughing.
Thanks, Leanne. I appreciate the book reviews, and that was a great one. I have to admit, I probably would never have thought to pick up a book with the title Fat Girl Walking, but after listening to that book review, I am a lot more interested in checking it out and seeing what she has to say. That's most of the show for today, but before I go, for those of you that aren't able to make our annual meeting, which we are having on March 25th, from 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning at the Sunnyside Room upstairs at Monk's Rock, I want to just give you a very brief rundown on KPLA and remind you of some of the things that it does. You may have heard or seen that we were part of the Altered Book Arts Show that went on throughout the month of February, where the art projects that were created by Kodiak community members were on display at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. That was a great show. We worked in concert with the Kodiak Arts Council on that. We love doing that. We've done it for a number of years now. We're looking forward to continuing that tradition in the future. KPLA's main mission is to support the Kodiak Public Library, of course. We do that through outreach and advocacy and fundraising so that we can help them support some of their programs. We help to support their video movie series. We help to support their Kitchen Gardeners series and bringing authors to town. We're hoping to bring some more authors to town in the future. We actually, at this time of year, sit down with Katie Baxter, the director of the Kodiak Public Library, and talk to her about what some of her needs are in the upcoming year and work out how we can help support their budget and help bring great activities and programs to Kodiak. KPLA also runs the Crab Festival book sale. We hold it every year at the Kodiak Public Library over Crab Fest, where we sell off a lot of the books that are donated to us from you wonderful, generous people throughout the year. We're doing that, of course, again this year, and you can always buy books at the Kodiak Public Library. We have a cart there year-round where books are for sale. We had a great promotion that went on through February where we were selling bundles of romance novels for $1 a piece. And always we have books there, which are 25 cents for children's books, $1 for paperbacks, and $2 for hardcovers. That's always being refreshed and updated, so you know there's a place in town where you can come and get an inexpensive book to read. We love offering you that service, and we have big plans to expand that service in the new year. If you want to know more, come to our annual meeting. One of the other big services that the Kodiak Public Library Association offers to the Kodiak Public Library is the ability to have third-party sales events there. So if you want to have an event at the library and charge for it, the only way to do it is sponsored through us, as we are the fundraising arm of the Kodiak Public Library. It's a fairly simple procedure to get involved with this. We have a third-party sales form that you can always pick up at the Kodiak Public Library. It's usually a good idea to check in with Katie Baxter at the Kodiak Public Library to see if the time and date that you want to have your event has availability, and then just fill out the form and send it back to us at KPLA, the Kodiak Public Library Association. At our next board meeting, we would look at approving your third-party sales, and after that, we get back to you and let you know. And with our approval, you have the support of the Kodiak Public Library Association with your event. 10% of your sales would go to the Kodiak Public Library Association as a donation towards our organization, which of course helps us do more fun events in the future. The same thing applies when there are traveling authors visiting or film series is coming through town where they want to sell their books or DVDs at the library. They would do a third-party sales form, get our approval, and do that through the support of the Kodiak Public Library Association. We are very important in helping the Kodiak Public Library be the wonderful, thriving place that it is. Now that your new Kodiak Public Library has been open for a little over 2 years, we're really seeing the wonderful opportunities that the space offers us and also realizing what a big place and project it is. And with all of these opportunities, we really want to help in a major way. We are looking for new board members to join our team and bring their wonderful ideas to how we can make this an even better experience for everybody here in town, visitors and locals alike. if the idea of joining a board is overwhelming to you, you should just come by our annual meeting and check it out and get to know us. There's always opportunities to form committees where you don't actually have to attend the board meetings, but you can still have a fantastic idea and run with it and get our support. We're having our meeting March 25th, 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning, Monk's Rock upstairs in their Sunnyside room. Monk's Rock is providing a delicious continental breakfast, so there'll be snacks there to enjoy. We're going to have a very short business meeting. We've got a couple of community members we want to give some recognition to because they've been fantastically helpful to us throughout the last year. And then we want to give you a little bit of our vision for the future. We'll go over our budget and we'll allow some time for questions and answers and for you people that come to our meeting to share with us what you think we should do in the future and how you think we should impact the Kodiak Public Library. This is also, as I've said, a fantastic opportunity to renew your membership with the Kodiak Public Library Association. We really do appreciate your support. You can support us through Pick, Click, Give, of course, and this is a good time to be thinking of that. You can support us directly on our website, www.kodiakpubliclibraryassociation.org. There's an opportunity to become a member there using PayPal. You can stop by the library anytime and pick up a membership form, but a really, really great way is to come to our annual meeting, fill out your membership form while you're there, and introduce yourself to us. Again, it's Saturday, March 25th from 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning, upstairs of Monk's Rock at their Sunnyside room. We're friendly and we'd like the opportunity to say thank you for your support because it really is you supporting us that keeps us going and allows us to do all the fantastic things we're doing. It's your memberships that keep us going. It's your monetary donations. It's your book donations that you can always leave at Cost Savers, where they'll take your donations and pass them along to us no matter how many books it is. So even if you have boxes, Cost Savers will take them, with a big thank you to Cost Savers for providing that service for us. And also your support in time. We all know how busy our lives can get, and you taking time out of your busy, hectic schedule to volunteer with us is a huge help. So please do it if you have time, and if you have given of your time in the past or of your money, or you have been a member and are continuing to be a member, we want to give you a warm thank you. We love what you do for us. So with that, I would like to say good night. My name is Athenia. This has been Dog-Eared Reads, Fetching Books and Tales by the Kodiak Public Library Association. And until next month, I'd like to wish you happy reading.
Lying there in bed, these words were the kiss I would plant in your head. What is it inside our head that makes us do the opposite? Makes us do the opposite of what's right for us. It's everything to be great and everything to be good. If everybody gave like everybody could. Sweetest little bookworm hidden underneath is the sexiest life. Take off those glasses and let down your hair for me. Take off those glasses and let down your hair for me. Simple little beauty, heaven in your breath. Simplest of pleasures, the world at its best.